Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Panchatattatmakam Krishnan Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktyaksham Namami Bhaktashaktikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Namo Mahavadannaya Krishna Prima Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namo Gaurishwami. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while he was traveling in South India, in a temple he came across one Brahmana who was holding Srimad Bhagavatam, holding Bhagavad Gita, and very sincerely, lot of devotion, he was reading Bhagavad Gita. But his pronunciation was not and as a result of that, many people there were laughing at his recitation. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed that the person was reading the Bhagavad Gita very, very sincerely. And as a result of that, there were ecstatic symptoms in his body. The tears flowing from his eyes, hair standing on end, his body shivering. And so seeing that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became quite curious. So he asked that Brahmana, which part of Bhagavad Gita is causing you to feel this way? So the Brahmana frankly admitted, actually, I cannot read properly. And I cannot read Bhagavad Gita and understand its meaning as such. But my guru, my spiritual master, asked me to read Bhagavad Gita every day. So although I am illiterate, but because my spiritual master told me to read Bhagavad Gita, so I make an effort to read Bhagavad Gita. And whenever I hold the Bhagavad Gita with my hands, I get to see that Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. And when I consider how merciful Krishna is, that he is bestowing such mercy upon his devotee Arjuna. So I just see that, I just feel that, and I become overwhelmed with emotion, seeing how kind, how merciful the Lord is. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced that Brahmana and told him that he was the real leader of Bhagavad Gita. Although apparently illiterate, although he was, whatever he could read, he was reading in a mistaken way, but he understood the real purpose of Bhagavad Gita. And he received the real mercy of Krishna. So, in this way, through this incident, we get to understand how to study the scriptures. With full faith, we have to approach them with a clear conviction that these are the words of the Supreme Personality of God. Krishna is speaking. And even the other scriptures, we must understand that those words are not, those descriptions are not just some literary descriptions. They are the descriptions of the spiritual world. Those words, those descriptions are coming from the scriptures. In this way, with full conviction, we must study. Then only the transcendental knowledge will be revealed in our hearts. Transcendental knowledge is not a matter of intellectual perception or intellectual understanding. It is a matter of revelation. Dibya Gyan Hriday Prakashita. The transcendental knowledge becomes revealed in the heart. Reveals means, actually the transcendental world, spiritual reality becomes manifest. Our intellect is also a material thing. Man, buddhi and ahankar, mind, intelligence and false ego are subtle elements. So the understanding may be more profound, more deep than our understanding through the senses. Our intellectual perception may be beyond our sense perception, but that is not the ultimate understanding. Just like we see when we read Brahma Samhita, what we see? Is Brahma just writing something, or Brahma is transported to the spiritual world and he is describing the spiritual world. So, it is the perception of the spiritual reality that eventually happens. We become transported to the spiritual. Just like this Brahmana, was he there? No, he was transported to where Krishna and Arjuna were. And he was seeing that Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. And that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated. That's what, can you imagine, the Lord is embracing him? What an inconceivable good fortune. Although, materially, people around him are laughing at him. Oh, look at this. Look at this illiterate fool. He can't read Bhagavad Gita, he can't read even alphabet, and he's pretending as if he is understanding so much. That was the mundane perception. Materialistic people are looking at him. But how did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how did the Supreme Personality of Godhead see him? And when he heard what he said, he was impressed. So in this way, the Lord will accept our sincerity. he is not going to be impressed with our scholarship. He will see the sincerity of our hearts. He will see the simplicity of our hearts. So, after traveling through South India, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath. And he took part in the Ratha Yatra festival. And the devotees from Bengal came and met him. And they had a wonderful Ratha Yatra celebration. And after that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to leave for Vrindavan. But when King Prataparudra got to know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to leave for Vrindavan, he was very heartbroken. So he told Sadhguru Bhattacharya, please don't let him go. Let him stay here. So Sadhguru Bhattacharya then told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so soon it will be winter time. After the Chaturmas, October, November, the winter time begins. Winter time, November onward. Mid-November onward, actually. So, and winter will be very cold. So that won't be proper time to travel. So in this way he persuaded Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to stay on. So Mahaprabhu accepted. So this year, before Ratha Yatra actually takes place during monsoon time, beginning of monsoon. Summertime ends and monsoon begins. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Bengal decided to come to Jagannath Puri. And this time their wives also wanted to join them. They also were feeling the separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Advaita Acharya Prabhu's wife Sita Devi joined, Srivast Thakur's wife Malini Devi joined, and in this way different ladies also joined, and they prepared various kinds of foodstuff for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to carry them. And Shivananda Sen was the organizer of this traveling Jatra. He made all the arrangements to their accommodation, their prasad, all that was arranged. Shivananda Sen paying tax, because when they would travel from one place to another, they would be, they have to pay tax to cross the country, to cross the rivers, and Shivananda Sen was taking care of all that. And then they arrived in Puri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent one devotee with two garlands to receive them when they were in Atharvanala. There's a river called Atharvanala and there's a bridge. So this messenger or agent that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent and offered these two garlands to Advaita Acharya Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And then when they came close to Jagannath Puri, on the boundary of Puri, then Mahaprabhu sent garlands to garland all the devotees. And then when they came to the main gate of Jagannath temple, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself met with them. They all were so ecstatic to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they had the darshan of Lord Jagannath, and Mahaprabhu arranged for them for prasad, and he himself distributed the prasad. This is how wonderful loving exchange took place between the Lord and his devotees. Last year, the previous year, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda Prabhu to just go back to Bengal and preach there. But this time, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that Nityananda Prabhu, so he told him that you don't come again to Puri. You stay in Bengal. And Nityananda Prabhu said, okay, but since I've come here, now let me stay here. And then the Rath Yatra time came. The day before the Rath Yatra festival, they all cleaned the Gundicha temple. The Rath Yatra festival, actually, the journey by chariot of Lord Jagannath along with Baladev and Subhadra through the Gundicha temple. And Lord Jagannath stays there for 8 days. And then after that he returns. So Gundicha temple, going to Gundicha temple is actually Lord's journey to Vrindavan. Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura. The residents of Vrindavan were so attached to Krishna that they could not tolerate a moment's separation from him, especially the gopis. When their eyes would blink, for a fraction of a second that the eyes closed, and they could not see Krishna during that time, they considered that that was a big defect in Brahma's making this human body. The eyes blink. So they criticized Brahma for that. What kind of body he created that the eyes wink? And as a result of that, we can't see Krishna. So this way, they could not even tolerate the separation from Krishna, even for a fraction of a second. And now, Krishna has left Vrindavan. While Krishna was leaving Vrindavan, the gopis didn't want to let him go. They tried to stop Krishna. Their attitude literally was over our dead bodies. They were holding on to the wheels of the chariot, they were holding on to the horses, some of them even lay down in front of the chariot with a very simple attitude, Krishna, we won't let you go. So then Krishna assured them that, don't worry, I'll come back soon. There is something to be done in Mathura. So as soon as I finish my job, I'll come back. But when Krishna went to Mathura, killed Kamsa, and at that time, and killed Kamsa and released Ugrasen, Vasudev, and Devaki from the prison. At that time, he reinstated Ugrasen in the throne of Mathura. Then Ugrasen requested Krishna, that Krishna, in your absence, all the kings are going to attack us. So how are we going to deal with them? If you go away, we will become totally helpless. So please stay on. So Krishna stayed on. And during that time, again, 18 times, 17 times, Jarasandha, Kamsa's father-in-law, attacked Mathura. And Krishna and Balaram defended Mathura 17 times. Wiped out the entire army that Jarasandha came with. 23 Akshogini, huge army. But Krishna and Balaram wiped out the entire army. Only spared Jarasandha. Let him go. And again Jarasandha gathered another 23 Akshogini soldiers and attacked Mathura. Now mind you, the Battle of Kurukshetra was fought with 11 Akshogini from Kaurava side and 7 Akshogini from Pandava side. Total number of soldiers during the Battle of Kurukshetra was 18 Akshogini. But Jarasandha attacked with 23 Akshogini. And Krishna and Balaram 17 times wiped them out. The question actually arises, why did Krishna spare Jarasandha? He wiped out the entire army, but he left only Jarasandha standing and let him go. The answer to that is, Krishna came to kill the demons. Purpose of Krishna's coming was to kill the demons. And in his mission to kill the demons, Jarasandha was actually Krishna's recruiting agent. He collected all the demons and brought them to Krishna for him to wipe them out. Krishna didn't have to go to all this. Jarasandha brought them to be So when Jarasandha was to attack for the 18th time, at that time, another enemy of Krishna, Kalajavana, also gathered to attack Mathura. So seeing that precarious condition, that the attack now is going to come from two sides, Krishna decided to transport all the residents of Mathura to Dwarka. Overnight, Krishna arranged for a city to be built in the middle of the ocean. And while the residents of Mathura were sleeping, in their sleep, they all were transported to Dwarka. Can Krishna do that? Incidentally, the city was built by Vishwakarma. Krishna just ordered, Vishwakarma, build the city. How long? How many houses? Everybody will have a house. Every family will have a house. How much time? Overnight. Vishwakarma, whatever is your command, my lord. And he built the city. So when Jarasandha first actually Kalajavana attacked, and Krishna dealt with Kalajavana. So, and then he didn't kill Kalajavana. He got Muchukunda to kill Kalajavana. And then he dealt with Jarasandha, and with Jarasandha also he played a trick. He ran away from the battlefield, Ranchhod, the one who ran away from the battlefield, and he climbed onto a mountain, huge, very high mountain called Provarsha Mountain, and Jarasandha set the whole mountain on fire, and then Krishna jumped from top of the mountain along with Balaram into the ocean and arrived in Dwarka. So anyway, long time went by, and in the meantime Krishna also got married to 16,108 princesses. So quite a long time went by, and he also had quite a few children. See for how long Krishna couldn't go to Dwarka, go to Vrindavan. Finally, on the occasion of the solar eclipse, Krishna went to Kurukshetra. It is the custom in India that during the solar eclipse, people go to Kurukshetra to take bath in a lake called Samanta Pancham. So, on the occasion of the solar eclipse, Krishna went to Samanta Pancham along with Balaram and Subhadra. And the residents of Vrindavan also went to Kurukshetra for that occasion. The solar eclipse was over, everyone was about to leave for their respective places. Residents of Vrindavan was about to leave, and at that time they got the message, they got the news that Krishna was there. So upon getting the news that Krishna was there, they all ran to meet Krishna. And in the meantime, Krishna also was preparing to leave Kurukshetra. So he was already on his chariot. Balaram was on his chariot, Subhadra was on her chariot. So the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis headed by Srimati Radharani, arrived there. But when Radharani saw Krishna, she felt that this is not the Krishna that I knew. The Krishna that I knew, he was a cowherd boy. But this person is a prince. My Krishna wears a peacock feather on his head, and he is wearing a crown on his head. My Krishna wears a flower garland, and he is wearing all these valuable necklaces made of most precious gems. My Krishna wears a yellow silk dhoti, and he is wearing a royal robe. My Krishna carries a flute, and he is carrying weapons. And where I used to meet Krishna, it was such a serene atmosphere on the bank of the river Jamuna. And this place, crowded with so many soldiers, so many royal personalities, so much noise. Elephants are trumpeting, horses are whining, the clashing of their weapons are making noise, people are shouting. So Radharani felt that this is not the way, this is not the one that I wanted to meet, and this is not the place where. So understanding Srimati Radharani's heart, What did the residents of Vrindavan do? What did the followers of Srimati Radharani do? They grabbed the horses and started to pull the chariot towards Vrindavan in order for Radharani to meet Krishna in a proper way. So that is the Ratha Yatra festival. Krishna came from Dwarka to Kurukshetra, and the residents of Vrindavan are taking Krishna from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. So, here, Jagannath Temple is the Kurukshetra and Gundicha Temple is Vrindavan. For 8 days, Krishna stayed in Vrindavan and he had his wonderful loving exchange with his most intimate devotee, the residents of Vrindavan. So, Jagannath Temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to clean the Gundicha Temple. Now, cleaning the temple also is synonymous to cleaning our hearts. When you clean the temple, then our hearts become clean. And then the Lord who is present in our heart becomes manifest. Don't you say, Cheto Darpana Marjana? The heart needs to be cleansed. Because when the heart is dirty, like a mirror that has dust on it, can we see our faces? Similarly, when our hearts is dirty, then because of the dirt in the heart, we cannot recognize our actual self. It is due to the dirt in the heart that we cannot recognize our spiritual identity. Because of the dirts in the heart, we become absorbed in our body consciousness. That is actually the impurity. But when the heart becomes purified, heart becomes cleansed, then we can see our real self in the mirror of our heart. And then in the heart we can also get to see the Supreme Personality of God. So this is the process, and that's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the very beginning of his Shikshashtaka instructed Cheto Darpana Marjana, cleanse the mirror of the mind or mirror of the heart. So after the Ratha Yatra festival, the devotees stayed there in Jagannath Puri till the end of Chaturmas. Before Chaturmas, they came, stayed in Jagannath Puri for those 4 months, and then they decided to go back. Although they didn't want to go back, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them, now you go. And this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to leave for Vrindavan. Sarvam Bhattacharya and others tried to stop him, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want to listen. He said, look, for the last 2 years you didn't let me go. So Mahaprabhu decided to leave. And Mahaprabhu came from Orissa to Bengal on his way to Vrindavan. And then he traveled to North Bengal. And in North Bengal, there was the capital of the Muslim king, Hussein Shah. And there he had two ministers. They were actually Brahmanas, but they were the two main ministers of Hussein Shah, because they were such brilliant individuals. They are Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami was the chief minister, and Rupa Goswami was the finance minister. And although they were from exalted Brahminical families, because they had association with the Muslims, they were ostracized from the Brahminical community. So they wrote to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about their condition and requested him to deliver them. And because of them, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually came to that place, the capital of Goura. Thousands of people were following him, and the police chief, or you can say the security in charge of the king, was also a Hindu. So he became worried that the king may be upset that so many followers, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his personality is coming with so many followers. So when the king asked that, I heard such a, that one saintly personality came, saintly Hindu personality came, with many, many followers. So this person, Chhatri, he told him that, no, just a few people are following. So Hussein Shah said that, no, I know, thousands. So he must be a very, very exalted personality. And so because of that fear that the king may become antagonistic to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami did not go to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the daytime. In disguise, at night, they went and met Sri Chaitanya. Three brothers, Rup, Sanatan, and Anupam. Three brothers. And there was also a little child with them. That child was Srila Jiva Goswami, son of And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed him by placing his lotus feet on his head, announcing him to be the Acharya of the entire Vaishnava community in future. So this is how they met. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were asking Mahaprabhu what they should do. Mahaprabhu told him, just chant the holy name of the Lord. The Brahminical community at that time was so cruel in their dealings. There were some instances that they would give some injunctions, like when somebody, had some dealings with the Muslims, and they would ostracize. and they would give some impossible means to become free from their apparent sinful reaction. So, therefore, Sarupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami didn't want to depend upon their suggestions. For example, there was a very exalted, very wealthy landlord. His name was Buddhimanta Khan. And Husain Shah was his employee. Buddhimanta Khan was actually the ruler. And Husain Shah was his employee. And eventually, Husain Shah became the king. And one day his queen noticed that he has some marks on his back. You see, when someone is whipped, that mark stays there. Because the whip actually cuts through the flesh and it remains as a permanent mark. So she asked, what happened? Why did you have this mark? So Husain Shah said that he made some mistake when he was working under Husain Shah, and Husain Shah chastised, punished him, right? With. So the queen said, oh, he did that, then you should kill him. He did that. He said, no, he was very, although he punished me, it was my mistake, it was my fault. But otherwise, he was very noble, very kind to me. But the queen insisted, no, you have to kill him. So, Husain Shah said, okay, then, instead of killing him, if I take away his religion, if I force him to become a Muslim, then that will be sin for him, it will be same as dying. So instead of killing him, let me just force him to drink contaminated water. And then he will lose his jati, he will lose his religion. So that's what was done to him. And then when he went back to the brahmanas and asked, this is what happened, what should I do? So they gave him advice like, you have to drink molten lead. This is the effect of nothing. And they gave all kinds of impractical suggestions. We can see that how the Brahminical community was at that time. But when Buddhimanta Khan appealed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, begged Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to tell him again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, just chant the holy name. And he started to chant the holy name and he went to Vrindavan and he settled down. And in Vrindavan, there were those days many Bengalis used to go. And the Bengalis are fond of eating rice. And in North India, those days there was no rice. They used to grow wheat only. So, and the Bengalis are fond of eating rice. So, Buddhimanta Khan, he didn't have any other means of earning money. So, he used to go collect wood in the forest and sell the wood and the money that he used to collect and get from that selling wood, he used to buy rice and feed the Bengalis there. So that's how Buddhimanta Khan was spending his time in Vrindavan. Anyway, so Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami also lost their religion because they became associated with the Muslims. So, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them to chant the holy name. And so then Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, both of them decided to give up their royal responsibilities and go to Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after that, after meeting them, while going to Vrindavan, he saw thousands of people are following him, and he felt that this is not the way to go to Vrindavan. One should not go to Vrindavan with such big crowd following. In order to appreciate the visit of Vrindavan, one must go there alone. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided not to go further. So there's a place called Kanai Nathshala on the bank of the river Ganges. And from there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath Puri. And then, from Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left for Vrindavan through the forest path, through the forest of Charikhand. And he wanted to go alone. And the other devotees requested, no, please at least take one companion. So finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to take one devotee called Balabhadra Bhattacharya. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya later described what happened when they were traveling through the forest. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting the holy name, and upon hearing the chanting of holy name, the wild animals started to chant. Mahaprabhu made the wild animals chant the holy name and dance in ecstasy. They've had so many animals gathered there, tigers, lions, elephants, hyenas, snakes. They all were chanting the holy name. So this is the potency that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed, and the effect of the holy name. Even the animals became affected by that. Ultimately, everyone is a spirit soul. So the holy name actually awakened their spiritual awareness. Even though they are in a very, very covered body of animals. Animal bodies are the bodies in ignorance, completely covered by you. And passion. So that's why the animals cannot really display such advanced consciousness. Consciousness is practically covered. But even their covering, penetrating their covering, the holy name awakened their spiritual consciousness. So Rupa Goswami, in the meantime, sent two men to Jagannath Puri to find out when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would leave for Vrindavan. So when he got the news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left for Vrindavan, he also packed up his scene there. He carried his wealth. He had so much wealth that he carried his wealth in three boats. And what was the wealth? Gold coins. He was not carrying his furniture, color TV. He was carrying the real wealth, gold. And that also filled up three boats. So you can see how wealthy they were. That's why their prayer goes like, Takta turna vashesha mandala patisrati. Sada tuchyabhat. Very negligibly they have given up their very, very wealthy situation. Their position was like king. Bhutva dinagarita. Takta turnam ashesha mandala patisrati. The wealth like that of many, many kings and monarchs. They left everything. And kupina kanthashuto. They accepted the dress of just wearing kupin. And kantha, a kind of a quilt that is made by stitching a few layers of cloth. A poor man's quilt. Why they did that? That is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy makes the kings and monarchs give up everything and accept the life of a mendicant. So Rupa Goswami, upon hearing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left for Vrindavan, he decided to go to Vrindavan and meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there, and he went to their ancestral home with all the wealth, and there also he saved, he established a standard of householders' way of living. He gave half of his wealth to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas for propagation, for promoting Krishna consciousness. He gave one quarter, to his family members. And the other quarter he kept for future use. So, then Rupa Goswami left for Vrindavan. And he, in the meantime, Sanatana Goswami also decided to leave. And the king was so fond of Sanatana Goswami that he refused to let him go. So he told Sanatana Goswami that, no, you can't resign. Actually what happened is, the Sanatana Goswami stopped going to the court. Stop going to the court. When the king sent a message, why you stop coming to the court? Sanatana Goswami replied the message he sent was that, I am sick, so I can't. So the king then sent the royal physician, Raj Vaidya, to check Sanatana. So Rajvaidya came and found that Sanatana Goswami is perfectly alright, perfectly hale and hearty. So then he reported to the king that he's okay, there's nothing wrong with him. So then the king came himself to Sanatana Goswami's house. And at that time, Sanatana Goswami was sitting with about 30 Brahmanas. And he was discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. So the king said that, you said that you are sick, you can't come to the court, and this is how you are spending your time? And Sanatana Goswami said that, yes, actually I am not physically sick. I am feeling mentally sick. I don't have any inclination to carry on with your royal responsibility. So King Bhushansha said, look, your elder brother is a plunderer. All that he knows is to loot people, kill people, and plunder. You are the one who is actually maintaining everything. So if you go away, if you don't take that, if you don't execute that responsibility, what's going to happen? So Sanatana Goswami said, look, please let me go. I don't really have any interest in these activities. So the king said, okay, I'm going to Puri, I'm going to Odisha to fight with King Pratapindra. So you come with me. And he said, you're going to the land of the Lord to create trouble to the Lord and disturbance to the Lord, and I don't want to go. So the king was so upset with him that he arrested him. And he left for Odisha to fight with King Pratap. Incidentally, he was defeated. So this is how Sanatana Goswami was arrested and kept in prison. Then Sanatana Goswami started, Rupa Goswami sent a message to him, Sanatana Goswami, that I am leaving home. You also somehow or other try to escape. With such and such person, I have deposited 10,000 gold coins. So you bribe that guy and escape. Bribe the prison keeper and escape. And Sanatana Goswami, he was the minister, so he knew everybody. So he told the prison keeper, the jailer, that he said, look, you are a very pious person. And I also want to dedicate my life for pious activity. I have decided to go to Makkah. Will you please let me go? And he said, look, I will let you go, but the king will kill me. He said, no, Mahatma Goswami was the minister, so he was very, very smart. So he said, look, I'll give you 7,000 gold coins. You let me go. He said, look, you may give me gold coins, but when my life is taken, what's the use of that money? Sanatana Goswami said, look, I'll give you 10,000 gold coins. And you don't worry about the king. When the king asks you, you tell him that I went to the bank of the river with my hands and feet tied with iron chains to evacuate. And then I just accidentally fell off onto the river and I got drowned. So he liked that. He laughed, 10,000 gold coins plus an easy way out of the king's wrath. And so he let Sanatana Goswami go. So this is how both Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami left home along with their younger brother. Rupa Goswami left home with Anupam and went there for Vrindavan. So this is how these two very, very intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srimati Radharani, and who are most intimate associates of Srimati Radharani? Lalita, Vishakha. And Sanatana Goswami, Lalita is actually Sarup Damodar, who was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's constant companion. And Ramananda Rai was Vishakha. But Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami are to Manjaris. Manjaris are the assistant to the gopis. They're younger girls. They're younger girls who assist the Sakhis. The little grown-up girls, grown-up means 15 years old. So they are Sakhis. And those who are younger, 12, 13 years old, they become the assistants of the Sakhis. So Lalita, Vishakha are the Sakhis and their assistants are Manjari. So Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari and Sanatana Goswami is Ananda Manjari. Two Manjari. So these two personalities play a very, very important roles in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. Hare Krishna, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Thank you.